an opportunity to meet one of the candidates for upcoming election, the county council race, county councilman at large. Jason Miller is with us, and thank you, Jason, for taking time out of your day to be with us. And welcome in, I should say that first. And is this your first foray into politics?
Well, this is my first,
as a candidate.
Well, this is my first foray as far as county politics. I was on the central committee. I ran for the central committee. I lost by 36 votes. And it was interesting because I still managed to participate on the central committee because they needed to have a treasurer. So they sent out a thing that said, hey, you want to volunteer? And I'm like, well, why not?
Sure.
So I participated as the treasurer. And then I was actually the vice chairman for a spell before I resigned so I could run for county council.
All right. You're out running for county council at large, which means you have to garner votes from across the entire county rather than the only council districts. How have you found How have you found the campaign going so far?
The campaign going so far is actually very well. It seems like there is a side that I'm offering as far as principled conservatism, as classical conservatism.
I've heard of it. And I haven't seen it much, but I've heard of it.
Yeah. It's William F. Buckley styled as far as I'm for all the good government we can afford. And I think that you have to have priorities that you set for things like, you know, roads, schools, you know, infrastructure development in general. And until you actually have a county council that's willing to set those down and actually have those priorities in place, that you're going to continue to see that we've been talking about overcrowded schools since 1968. And we've also been talking about the infrastructure issue since 2004. And if you continue down this path, you're going to continue to basically have the same old problems every election year.
So you'll kick the can down the road. Somebody will take care of it. We'll talk about somebody else will have to take care of it. Jason, you have an extensive resume. But qualifies you for many things. And would you take just a few moments to tell us about your background?
Well, my background originally, I started studying political science right out of high school in college at the University of Southern Indiana. And I decided at that point when I was doing student loans, I was like, well, there has to be a better way to do this. So I joined the Indiana National Guard as in the artillery, as basically a fire direction person. I was doing the slide rulers and making sure that the cannons fired where they're supposed to fire.
Correct.
After that, I just got back from basic training for the Indiana National Guard in August of 2001. And then September 11th happened.
Yes.
And then I volunteered for active service within the Army. And then I was placed in the Military Intelligence Corps. And from there, I started looking into politics, but I didn't really get involved because being in the military, it was frowned upon. But I started getting active in Frederick County politics in around 2013 with O'Malley's gun grab. Mm-hmm. And that really annoyed me. And then I started progressively getting more involved. And then that's when I started volunteering for the Central Committee, going in and studying political science as a student over at McDaniel College. And the many things that I learned over there being applied to what it seems that are not being done here in Frederick County is what caused me to want to go in and run for county council.
Are you a local guy? I don't know what that means anymore. Have you been here more than a week or 10 days?
I moved. My wife and I got married over at Linganore, the vineyard. And we loved it out there so much in Mount Airy that we initially, after we got married in 2010, we bought our house 15 minutes away.
Beautiful.
Over in Mount Airy the following year. And we've been here since 2011. So,
beautiful. Yeah. Well, you bring interesting perspective because we talk about the type of conservatism that really doesn't exist very much because we've gone right crazy and right crazy, and then we've gone back to the middle. It's now called moderate. And actually, your politics are moderate, as I would think, under the terms of the day. You're out there. What are you hearing from the people? I'm sure you're doing door knocking and sign waving and everything. What are you hearing from the real people?
Well, I'm hearing from real people that they're kind of frustrated because it seems like there's a lack of direction that the county council has had in the past. Like, I mean, there's no earthly reason that Buzzard Brothers should have waited for 18 months to have something done on a zoning.
Yeah,
you know, we have to take into consideration that the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution was passed in that amount of time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And we can't get a zoning, you know, issue resolved. On top of that, you have all of the issues at hand that everybody's running on, and what does the county council do? It takes up dog tethering.
Yes.
Tell me about the prioritizing, and that's what they're frustrated. It seems like they have they've missed the priorities that affect the average folks.
Well, are they apparently they're not attacked or trying to or not attacking the issues that are at hand that need to be attended to. They seem to take, again, I'm not being critical, just saying I don't understand that there is no direction. Charter government came into play 4 years ago. I was totally opposed to it, still am. But since we have this, we have to work with it. As a county council member, of course, being at large doesn't give you any more voting power than being from a district. What do you see that you can do to improve the way our government is working or not working? In other words, what I've been told by council members is that I call you up, and because I'll be calling you because, you know, you're at large, and say, look, I got a problem with this road. It's got a hole in it. Nobody's doing anything. Do you see a chance to improve the communications or the direction or the operations of the county council, although they're legislative bound, but they are still supposed to be constituent services, I would hope?
Absolutely. One of the issues, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I chose to run at large because it was the closest thing to a county commissioner, because right. I can help everybody. I can help someone in Brunswick. I can help someone in Sebeliusville. I can help someone in New Midway, Burkittsville, wherever.
Right.
And that's what appealed to me as far as running for – I could have ran in my district, but I'm like, I'd rather have a greater effect if I could. The next county council has the ability to establish the charter review commission.
Right.
And one of the big issues that you're going to have is these members of this board, this commission, will be able to make recommendations on the charter, and it will affect Frederick County for the next 10 years. And you can have a more streamlined approach. One of the issues that I've been bringing up for since September of last year is this county executive has way too much power. But yeah. I also think that the county, the president of the board or the president of the county council also has a lot of power. There's no reason why one person should be able to choose the agenda for everything.
Yeah.
And I think that if you, I guess, balance that out, you would have a better form of charter government.
I think so. Frank, you're up. Go ahead and give him a question.
Ah!
I thought so. That's enough.
Last question was... why going for county council at large with your background and your interest in public service? And I think you answered that. Looking at your website, I think there are a couple interesting questions to bounce back at you. And a lot of it is conservatism. How voters going to choose between four different Republicans in the primary? How do you distinguish yourself from the others?
Well, I distinguish myself from the others by basically calling myself a consistent conservative, which is I have to me, it's a mindset. It's something that being a fiscal conservative, it's one of the – I guess I call it a compass, which is what you use to make decisions. If you have the ability to sit back and look at data, which is what I did as an intelligence person, data doesn't care how you feel. Data tells you what you need to do. And I think a lot of that is what I bring as far as to the budget. Like, math doesn't care. I mean, we were talking about – I was over at the League of Women Voters for their forum. And so a question was asked about free Wi-Fi. And I calmly just looked at them and I said, we can have that. How much do you want me to raise your property taxes? How much is it worth to you? So I am a fiscal conservative. I'm a fiscal hawk. I'm the only candidate that doesn't – I don't like the idea of having the county council have a line item spending. I don't think the county executive and the county council should be spending at the exact same time. I think it's foolish because you will have a tendency of massive spending – and not have any checks and balances, which is what you need to have on the county. That's what the reason why the county council couldn't spend the money was because it was supposed to come from the county executive. You initiate that, you're going to have a fiscal crisis on your hands if you get a person or several people that just really like to spend other people's money.
So many issues with the limited time we've had with candidates. I've wound up asking them all the same question when it comes to issue. And have picked number one as an issue, growth in Frederick County. You say here on your site that you're for, I think it's geographic diversity. I just had it here. But what does that mean? I mean, to someone who is commuting day to day and getting really frustrated with the traffic, who feels that
how about people just trying to get around the county? Yeah,
there's too much growth, too many houses, or somebody who feels that government's interfering with natural economic development. Where are you on all that?
Well, what I mean by geographic diversity is that you have right now certain instances where you have high density development that's already taking place, and you have issues where more and more of the pipeline is being brought into those higher density areas. So when I say geographic diversity, I mean, let's take a look at the less than high density and try and initiate growth in those areas until we can get the infrastructure in place for these more higher densities. Like, there's no reason that when you have a development, it has to be, according to several books that I've read. I mean, I even went into a class that was on YouTube from the Ball State University out in Indiana. They say you have to have it be – it has to be people-focused, it has to be prosperous, and it has to be predictable. So the predictability part is you're going to have infrastructure marching at the same pace with development, or else you're going to have some serious problems. You have to have it people-focused, which means that the market is going to determine where that happens. Government's not going to be able to sit there. I mean, this isn't the way it was like 15, 16 years ago where, oh, there's a housing boom, so we're just going to turn a blind eye. When I say it has to be as far as prosperous, the developers have to make a profit or else they're not going to build. And I think that this is the balancing act, and that's what I mean by diversity. You have to incorporate everything that the county can do while at the same time not hindering the prosperity of the development, because then you're going to stop growing, which is going to stop your tax base, which is going to mean that you're going to have some serious issues taking care of the woes that we already have if you're not growing the tax
base.
Some
of what you're talking about is a plan that the county executive is very into and a number of people are into, but people also have issues with, and that's called Livable Frederick. Have you had a chance to?
Oh, I've read Livable Frederick.
Any thoughts on that?
I refer to it in my own home as Laughable Frederick. And the reason I say that is because there is no absolute – basically, Livable Frederick, from my opinion, and based on reading the report, it turns Frederick County into an HOA, mm-hmm. which means that there's no reason why the Winchester Hall should tell someone in South Mountain that they can't build a house X amount of feet because it interferes with a view shed. Well, it's your property, and if it meets all the criteria, you should be able to build the house of your choice. If you want to go in there and downzone, like we had 725 houses over in Linganore, near Lake Linganore, that's the type of predictability issues that I'm talking about, because Livable Frederick basically has a perspective, which means – and it passes from county council – I mean from the county council. Once it's passed, it goes into effect. It's the perspective of the executive, the county executive. Is this good? Well, it may be under one county executive, but then you can go in there and you can change it around every 4 years, and that's a disaster.
50% of the budget in the county goes to the Board of Education. Obviously, no one wants to see teachers not being paid or schools not being built. What plans do you have? Have you thought about how we can afford to build more schools faster? Obviously, we need them, with the predictability of 3,000 additional students next year?
Well, that's a very interesting question, because I've also advocated for a third-party audit of the county's budget, because anybody, Democrat or Republican alike, you cannot sit there and tell me that there is no waste in government. So if you want to find the money to actually start building these schools, because this has been an issue too for a very long time, you need to go in there and figure out what's working in the budget, what isn't working, what programs are working, what programs aren't working. And then you basically reinvest the money into things that we need, which is what I said before, prioritizing your spending for the issues. There is Kirby DeLauder came up with a very interesting plan as far as having the developers lease a school back.
Privatized.
I don't know if that would be something that I would be keen on, because there are some things that I think that have to be within the scope of the county government. But I'd be interested to see it. I haven't seen it. If it works, then that's great. Because I talked to him about it, and he said there are a lot of people that are really excited about this plan and trying to implement it elsewhere. I'm on board.
Right.
If it shows to save the county money like he says it is. But in the meantime, I mean, I worry that privatizing the construction of a school and then leasing it back, are we going to be paying more in the lease than what we would have if we were paying for the school outright? And he says that he's fixed the issue, and if he has, I'm all for it.
Well, we have just enough time to have you provide the information. How do we get a hold of Jason Miller? We want to support you. We want yard signs.
Sure.
We want to send you lots of money. How do we do that?
You can go to www.milleratlarge.com, and that's our website, or you can email me at jason@milleratlarge.com. And I respond, you know, immediately if I can, but I will get back within like 24 hours tops.